Hi, I'm Bill Arnold. Thanks for listening to the podcast from the Early Morning Late Show. So we've got the weekend next. I hope you got some nice plans for the weekend. You're going to relax a little bit. Always nice to get some time to charge the old batteries, as they say. It is March 2nd, my sister Laura's birthday. Happy birthday, Laura, and her anniversary. She got married on her birthday. How cool is that? Today, as we're kind of honoring Billy Graham's funeral and his great life and legacy, I really want to hear about the evangelist in you. When was the last time you shared Christ with someone? You took a step of faith, you know, maybe you got a little bit uncomfortable, but you did it anyway. And we'd love to hear that story. We've got some great listeners writing in with their stories. You can write me at bill@myfaithradio.com and you can tell us your story. Kim wrote a letter from South Dakota. She said, I reach out to my grandkids on a regular basis, but rather than witnessing, I'm more into the watering. There are those plants and seeds, and they need the harvest and the crop, but they need the water. And she said, anytime I sing solos at church, I give an introduction to the song, and inevitably I end up crying, which is watering, which has led my church family to give me the nickname of the waterer. Also, when I'm praying for my lost family and friends, I go to the Father in tears. Through all this, I've had the pleasure of seeing several of my grandkids come to Christ. How awesome is that? Kim, thanks for writing. What a great, great letter. All right. Today in history, I love history. It was in 1877, Rutherford B. Hayes was declared the winner of the 1876 presidential election over Democrat Samuel J. Tilden, even though Tilden had won the popular vote. Sound familiar? And Rutherford B. Hayes was the 19th president of the United States. And I still to this day cannot figure out what the B stands for in Rutherford B. Hayes. I've looked it up on the internet. I can't find it anywhere. If anybody knows, write me. Let me know what that is. Bill@myfaithradio.com. You know, he was the first president to have a telephone in the White House. The first 18 presidents did not even have a telephone in the White House. So I think we've come a long ways. And his telephone was installed by the inventor himself, Alexander Graham Bell. And, of course, he said he'd be out on Monday between noon and 5, and he didn't show up till Thursday. But he did call the next day, and the first call was asking if they wanted to bundle their services with Pony Express, just a way of creating more value. All right, are you going to the movies this weekend, or maybe you're going to tune in for a little bit of the Oscars on Sunday? If so, we best talk to Adam Holt from PluggedIn.com. We can find out what's going on at the movie theaters. I also want to ask him about the way in which Billy Graham took advantage of that platform and had many movies that he put out, his organization, and many, many people came to Christ from going and attending one of his movies. It's 8 minutes after the hour. When we come back, Adam Holt will be with me. Good morning. It's 9 minutes after the hour, and you know that time to talk a little bit of movies, a little bit of hopefully family entertainment. I have Adam Holtz from PluggedIn.com on the studio line. Good morning, Adam.
Good morning, Bill.
So let's start with a little bit of just Billy Graham and his influence in the movie theaters, because he his organization produced quite a number of films, didn't they?
They did, and actually I was doing some research on it, and I don't know that it's stuff that we're going to say, oh yeah, I remember when we went to the theater and, you know, it was better than Star Wars. But in the 60s and 70s and even into the 80s and a little bit sporadically since then, the Billy Graham Association, Worldwide Pictures, has had a bunch of movies. I mean, it's a fairly long list, and he started showing them in 1953.
Wow.
And the thing, you know, these are movies that maybe some of you have seen them, Last Flight Out, The Climb, Road to Redemption, Doc-Com's Surf Shop, Something to Sing About. It's not just one or two. It's a long list of movies. And to me, what's interesting is I think that he understood, maybe before a lot of us in evangelicalism did, the power of story. And, you know, not just the story, but telling a story that had a redemptive element, you know, that was a powerful way to get people's attention and to help them perhaps hear the gospel in a different way. And obviously we have a really burgeoning Christian movie industry now, but I think that Billy Graham was really ahead of the curve. And,
mm-hmm.
and digging into it a little bit, I didn't even realize how much he was ahead of the curve. So in some ways I may be young enough that a lot of those movies even predate me. So it's just it's another example of his legacy and his understanding of how important it was to get the gospel out in as many ways as possible.
Adam, I'm guessing Billy Graham surrounded himself with a lot of very forward-thinking people.
Yeah. I'm guessing that he did too. I mean, I can only agree with that speculation, but but obviously as the premier evangelist really in history, my guess is that there are storytellers who recognized the opportunity they had in working with him. And so it looks like lots of folks took advantage of that.
Yeah. All right, let's talk. Go ahead. Let's talk about the phenomenon going on in the movie theaters right now, a little movie called The Black Panther.
Yeah, a little movie called The Black Panther. Boy, I mean, Marvel has hit the long ball with this.
Oh, have they ever?
Black Panther is
printing money in the basement.
Yeah, I mean, if you needed $700 million, just, you know, give it, say, 2 weeks or so and write the check, right?
Yeah.
I mean, in some ways, it's one of the biggest movies outside of Star Wars. I mean, this thing is blowing the doors off the box office, and there are predictions that this weekend, in its third weekend, it may be the biggest third weekend in anywhere in the movies. But that's sort of in number and Nerdville, and I like to live in Statisticsville because I think it's interesting. But the movie itself, I think, is resonating for a number of reasons. It's got almost an entirely African-American cast. Martin Freeman, who played Bilbo in the Hobbit movies, plays a CIA agent. But it's a pretty short list of people who aren't black that are in the movies. Actually, Andy Serkis is one of the bad guys. So we have Bilbo and Gollum in this movie. Maybe that's the secret to its appeal, right? the main character is a young prince named T'Challa. And T'Challa has just assumed the throne in a small African country called Wakanda. And as far as anybody knows, Wakanda is this dirt poor sort of flyover country in Africa. But they secretly, for hundreds if not thousands of years, have built a civilization based on a metal called vibranium. This huge asteroid crashed into their land, and vibranium is a wonder metal. It can do all sorts of things. And so they have cloaked their entire civilization for hundreds of years. And one of the main questions of the movie is whether they're going to move out of that kind of isolationism and get involved with world affairs or not. And that question is sort of pushed to the fore by the bad guy, the first bad guy, Ulysses Klaue, stealing some vibranium. And then there's another bad guy as well who challenges for the throne. And it's really a story in a lot of ways about some pretty core philosophical questions. What does it mean to take responsibility for the resources we've been given? Do we protect our own people, or do we put our people at risk for the sake of the betterment of the world? And I think what makes the film interesting is you've got this back and forth dialogue from people who make really good arguments on both sides. So I think because it has a almost all African American cast, it definitely is resonating with that community. And T'Challa is a hero's hero. He's a man of integrity. He's a man of courage. This is really a terrific movie, Bill.
And wow.
It's got a smattering of profanity, but less than we've seen in some Marvel superhero movies. And obviously, we've got some superhero violence. And the Wakandans have their own religion. They worship the Egyptian cat god Bast. That might be, in some ways, the biggest issue to navigate with your family if you go. But, I mean, it's sort of in the mythological kind of territory. So I think it's navigable. But families certainly need to be aware of that element if you're thinking about going. But it's a terrific movie. I went and saw it last weekend myself on my own dime. So there you go.
Is part of its success at the box office repeat customers? Are there people going back two and three times to this movie in the first couple of weeks?
Well, there have to be. I mean, kind of numbers, you're not just reaping people going once. I mean, I think the word of mouth here is huge, again in the black community, this thing is just a phenomena. And there's been this idea that movies with mostly black cast don't sell, but this has really torpedoed that idea, and with a well told story. So it's just a great story all the way around.
Do you have a web link for some of that vibranium? I think I need to get me some.
Yeah,
of that.
Seriously, where can I get that? Right, it's what Captain America's shield is made of as well. So that explains a lot of things.
Yeah. All right, Adam. Let me take a short break. When we come back, we'll talk about some of the Oscar predictions and also chat with a caller that's got a story of sharing her faith. We're going to do that next. It's 17 minutes after the hour. Glad you're with me. Good morning. It's 19 minutes after the hour. Today I've been asking listeners to tell us the stories about the evangelist in them, the last time you shared Christ. And we've gotten a lot of callers and letter writers this morning, so it's been fun. Right before we get back to Adam Holtz at Plugged In, I'm going to ask Sherry on our studio line to briefly tell her story. Good morning, Sherry.
Yes, good morning. I talk about the Lord every chance I get. But anyway, one that stands out in my mind, for years I've been praying for motorcycles, like when I'm driving and they're passing me or I see them behind me or whatever. I pray that the Lord will get them where they're wanting to go and keep them safe while I was gassing up. And a motorcycle came up and was gassing alongside of me, and I felt nudged to talk to him, and I said, never saw this person in my life, but I said, oh, I said, be safe, be careful today. And I said, you know, I've been doing this for years. Every time I see motorcycles, I pray for them that the Lord will take them where they're wanting to go and keep them safe. And this man just took a double take. He's like, you pray for me? And I said, I sure do. And he said, he just almost like froze. He says, well, thank you, ma'am. Thank you. That's so nice of you. Thank you. So,
Sherry, I love that story. Boy, that's a beautiful story. And I know that's going to be an encouragement to other listeners. I mean, because you are intentionally praying for people, and then you had an opportunity, and the Holy Spirit just nudged you to say that. And I promise you, He will never forget that encounter with you.
No, He looked like He never was going to forget it either.
Sherry, thanks for listening. Thanks for calling. Just have a great weekend. God bless you.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah. Adam, it's been a great morning hearing from our listeners about their times they've shared Christ with others, and it's been so encouraging.
I rode motorcycles for 10 years, so I'm very touched by that story personally.
Yeah, no kidding. All right, we've got the Oscars coming up on Sunday, so what is your prediction for best costuming in a short animated documentary with a budget under $10,000?
Boy, it's such a niche category. I'm not sure who the front runners are in that one.
All right. Now, I understand you've seen 5 of the 9 pictures nominated for Best Picture. Which one do you think is going to get the call?
Well,
the call to the podium.
More so than most years, it just seems like it's wide open. I'm going to hedge my bet a little bit here. I think it'll either be three billboards outside Ebbing, Missouri, or The Shape of Water. I mean,
okay.
I think those are two of the films that have had the most sort of buzz for different reasons. And unfortunately, they're both really hard R-rated movies. I mean, there's just a ton of content in both of them. And some years Oscar swings toward nicer PG-13-ier kinds of movies, and man, this year there is very little on the list that I can just say, man, you should see this movie or seriously consider it. I think Dunkirk and Darkest Hour are really the only two of the nine Best Picture nominees that I would say are really worth serious consideration, because the rest of them just all have so much content. So It's unfortunate, I think, that the pictures that are being recognized for artistic excellence, and there are some really engaging stories here, but still they're kind of out of bounds for families that want something that isn't going to, you know, cause them to cover their kids' eyes and ears and everything else.
Yeah. Adam, CBS recently launched a sitcom called Living Biblically. What is that about? Have you seen that?
I have not seen it personally, but our TV guy who reviews stuff every week, his name is Paul Acey, and Paul reviewed that this week, and he and I have talked quite a bit about it. I mean, it seems like the kind of series that, as a conservative Christian, when I hear that a major network is doing a story about or a show about living biblically, I kind of roll my eyes and hold my breath. I'm like, oh, man.
Right.
It's just going to be mock fest.
Right.
The good news here is that it isn't. It's about a guy named Chip who grew up Catholic but has left the faith. And when he and his wife get pregnant with their first child, he has sort of this moment where he realizes, man, this parenthood thing is a big deal. I got to get serious about what life is all about. And he decides to go all in on the Bible, and he's going to take it completely literally, Old Testament, New Testament, everything. So not just, you know, loving others as you would have people love you, but, you know, not wearing garments made of two different kinds of fabrics, you know, obscure sort of Levitical law kinds of things. And so a lot of the humor plays upon his attempt to live this out. There's a Catholic priest and a rabbi who both kind of advise him. And, you know, in the midst of this, we get some interesting sort of meditations on legalism and grace. He's trying to, you know, to live by the law, essentially. And obviously it's not going to work. And we know as Christians that we're saved by grace. We're not saved by how well we live up to whether our clothing has two pieces of fabric made of different things or not, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So in that sense, it's kind of a nice show. It's got a little bit of profanity. It's got a little bit of sexual content. And I don't think anybody who is coming from an evangelical perspective is going to watch it and say, this show is totally orthodox. There are probably going to be moments where you do roll your eyes. But on the flip side, it is a show that takes faith seriously. And this guy Chip, as he tries to live out the Bible, he really becomes a better person. So it's a, I think, a redemptive show in that sense. So, you know, depending on your tolerance for gags, like he has a keychain with Jesus on it, and he calls him Keezus.
Mm-hmm.
And that would be a great litmus test for whether this is your kind of show or not. If that sounds sort of blasphemous from the get-go, you're probably not going to find the humor here really engaging.
Mm-hmm.
But it's that kind of stuff that if you are able to get your head around humor like that, there are some nice moments here, and it does some things in a good way that we haven't seen very many sitcoms on network television ever do before.
Mm-hmm. Are they bringing politics into this show as well, or are they trying to leave those out?
You know, so far there hasn't been a lot of political stuff. The show just started last week, so we've only had a chance to review one episode. I mean, it wouldn't surprise me if that drifts in, but that doesn't seem to be the primary focus of the show at this point.
Mm-hmm. Well, Adam, I'll look forward to our next conversation, and I'm curious to see what the Oscars produce for us on Sunday. I can honestly say I did not see one of the movies up for nomination, but what else is new?
What else is new, right? right.
Yeah, yeah. So thanks for being a guest, and have a great weekend.
You're welcome.
And I'll see you again soon.
We'll talk soon. Thanks, Bill.
Thanks so much. That was Adam Holtz from PluggedIn.com. You can head over to PluggedIn.com and read reviews on movies and TV shows. It's all from Focus on the Family. We'll take a short break and be back with more in just a minute. It's 28 minutes until the top of the hour. I want to hear about the evangelist in you. We still have some Billy Graham books to give away. So write in, bill@myfaithradio.com. Tell me your story. When was the last time you shared Christ with someone? You took a step of faith. Maybe you just got a little out of your comfort zone, but you did it. I want to hear that story. We'll put your name in the drawing for one of the books. I love my listeners. We got a whole bunch of people who have already written with their response. It's wonderful. And then a little bit earlier in the program, I was talking about Rutherford B. Hayes, and I had no idea what the B stands for. Didn't have a clue. And then many people called to tell me what it was. I'll tell you that a little bit later on coming up. We'll take a short break for news, and then Karen Ellis from International Christian Response will be with us. She's most awesome. Be back in a minute. It's 23 minutes until the top of the hour, Friday, March 2nd. We are just enjoying the letters and calls that are coming in from listeners about the evangelist in them. So send me a note. Let me know, bill@myfaithradio.com. Send me a couple sentences. When was the last time you were like Billy Graham in your evangelistic outreach efforts? You opened the door to friendship. You shared Christ with someone. You took a step of faith. And tell us what happened. Maybe you got a little uncomfortable. Maybe you didn't. Maybe you were like one of Sherry from Cottage Grove, who was just praying for motorcycles and motorcyclists. And then she had a chance at a gas station to say to a motorcycle driver, "I pray for you and your safety." And he was stunned. What a great way to just share the love of Jesus with others. But tell me your story, bill@myfaithradio.com. We'll take a short break and then bring on Karen Ellis. Be back in a minute.
If you jotted down every word you spoke to your teenager in a given day, what would the tally look like? Heavy on the criticism side or heavy on the praise? Hi, I'm Mark Gregston with Parenting Today's Teens. Too many moms and dads get into the habit of tearing down their teen with the hope that they'll snap out of his teenage fog and shape up. However, I find that this method doesn't benefit either side. Mom and dads are anxious and angry, leaving teens confused, frustrated, and suffering from low self-esteem. Consider taking this challenge and count how many times you criticize your kids today. Then work hard at condemning less and praising more.
Are you struggling with your teen? Get a free online parenting course called Tough Guys and Drama Queens at freeparentingcourse.com.
Welcome back to the show. Whenever I have Karen Ellis on the show, I always have to get a pen because I always want to take notes and do lots of writing. The pen I have in my hand, apparently when I bought it, it says this pen writes in space. You know, I've never needed a pen that writes in space. Not a big selling point for me. But anyway, I've got Karen Ellis on the studio line. Actually, she's coming to us via Skype. She is from the International Christian Response and is a regular guest on the show, and we love her. Good morning, Karen.
Just got to take a moment to thank you for keeping the issues that concern us in front of everybody. The platform is much appreciated. And do not denigrate your space pen, because it may be prophetic. You do not know where God is going to take you. I'm just saying.
That's true. So if I'm in space one day and I'm writing in space, I'm going to go, yeah, you know what? I should have listened to Karen Ellis.
I should have brought that pen.
Where's that pen? I know I have to make fun of it. Now I don't have it. All right. All right. Let's talk about some of the things that are going on internationally. I know this is near and dear to your heart, but the refugees, especially the ones in Syria, the ceasefire has really done nothing to slow any of this down, has it?
Yeah. No, there are so many actors involved. It's almost like, you know, 50 different factions showed up in this one suburb of Damascus called Houta, and decided to fight. And it's, you know, the of course, the fighting has been ongoing there in Damascus and in Aleppo. And but all of a sudden, this other area heated up. And it is, it feels like a for real battle for ideology and a battle for space. It's a vacuum that got left open by how we handled the Islamic State. And I can tell you right now, there's Syria is there. I mean, obviously they're in Syria. Sorry about that. The U.S. is there. Turkey is there. Israel, Iran, Russia, Sunnis and Shias, Russian mercenaries. It's one of the worst hot spots and the most dangerous places to be on the face of the earth. And of course, the Christian church and other religious minorities are sort of caught in, not sort of, they are definitely caught in the crossfire of all these factions. And they need a lot of prayer because the trauma is real. The danger is real. And the death count is very real.
Karen, what is a hopeful outcome for these Syrian refugees, and what are we praying for specifically? If we say let's pray for them, what should we be praying for?
Well, first off, yeah, that's a great question. First off, we can't really speak of refugees. The refugees being allowed into this country have slowed to a trickle. These are people, maybe internally displaced persons, is a better.
Okay.
Term for them, because they're still within their own borders. So I spoke with a woman yesterday who still has family there, and she said that probably their greatest need at this point is healing from trauma. She says that the things that they have seen, the things that they have heard, the panic that they live with on a daily basis, we can't even begin to imagine. She said people cry for no reason. They laugh for no reason. They eat for no reason. It's just finding some way to deal with the constant barrage of being targeted and being caught in the crossfire of all these forces. So healing from trauma, and God can reach down and do this supernaturally, but people are not able to get medical resources. Hospitals and clinics are being targeted. It is, and it's relentless. It's relentless. So a lot of the leaders in the church and among other religious minorities are new leaders. They are helping others deal with, process their trauma and processing their own trauma at the same time. They have buried an incredible number of people. It's profound. And there's, of course, you may have seen the video of the chemical weapons that were being used against the people on the ground. Have you seen that one?
It's horrible.
It's grisly.
Oh, yeah.
It's really grisly. One of the people who was filming, one of the journalists who was there, said it was like apocalyptic. And so, you know, just they need God's healing touch, but they also need resources to come in and help people in some way, shape, or form to process what is going on. In the middle of all of this, I can't speak too freely about how the church is operating, but the church is there, and they are providing community. They're providing significance. They're providing refuge. They're trying to provide answers. But when you ask the question, what does winning look like in this situation? The people on the ground have no idea what will be the end of this, who will win, and what will winning look like for either faction. Nobody knows.
Wow.
Nobody knows at this point.
So lots of chaos without an end game in mind for any of them.
Absolutely.
Well,
and it's the frustrating part is why this place called Ghouta, why this, it's a piece of farmland, what is the resource there? What is the benefit of this particular place? You know, authorities told us that Aleppo would always be remembered historically as a marker for the depth of evil in our generation. But now they're seeing that this region is worse than Aleppo.
Wow.
Wow.
These stories,
you know,
are...
none of us, Go ahead, yes.
Now, these stories are just so difficult to hear, and the stories of persecution, they're filled with terror and horror.
Yeah, and they need strength. They need prayers for God to take them from glory to glory, because there are glimpses of God moving. They are caring for their non-Christian neighbors. None of us can imagine what it's like to live in this kind of war zone. And yes, the church is growing, but at what cost? You know, there are times, Bill, when the blood of the martyrs is the seed of the church, but there's also a point at which an entire human witness can be wiped out of a region. And we've seen so many places come dangerously close to this kind of erasure. To this erasure that says that your people have never been here, your people have never contributed in anything to history. And in the middle of this mad scramble to grasp for power, we need to ask God to let the resources that they need get in, to help them find, rely on God for some sense of purpose to all of this madness. Because only he can provide it, and that is an enormous question when everywhere around you is like staring into a void.
Mm-hmm.
And we need to be able to get, people need to be able to get those humanitarian convoys in. We do have other methods for getting resources into the area, but because the doors are limited, that means the amount of resources that you can get in are limited. So we need bigger doors. And for God to bring peace, to that region. A lot of authorities and officials and analysts are concerned that it's going to spread into other areas. And then what does that look like?
Mm-hmm.
So, and, you know, here's another thing that really I'm going to tell you honestly, this makes me angry. That one of the things that people call into question, you know, from the comfort of their own keyboard computers is, you know, the effectiveness of thoughts and prayers. You've seen these people, you've seen people debating this, you know, my thoughts and prayers are with you.
Right.
Well, you know, one of the biggest tricks I think that the enemy wants to take from us is to take tools out of our hand. I'm not saying that this is a substitute for action, because action also needs to be thoughtful, prayerful action needs to accompany, you know, our words where we say we're thinking and praying. But really, this is one of those situations where prayer is one of our greatest weapons. And I will not let the enemy snatch it from our hands.
Mm-hmm. Karen, you think so deeply and with such great compassion about all this. You inspire me. Let me take a little break, and when I come back, we'll continue my conversation with Karen Ellis in just a minute. Welcome back to the show. As you know, we are having a lively discussion with Karen Ellis from the International Christian Response. And she always brings such deep thinking and compassion to this subject because, frankly, some of these topics of conversation are always difficult to talk about, especially in the morning. But the Islamic extremists have struck again in Nigeria with some school kidnappings. And, again, this is the kind of thing that you hear and you cannot believe. Karen, can you address this for us?
Yeah, you know... a lot of people, I think, don't realize that Boko Haram, which is the Nigerian cognate, I suppose, to the Islamic State, they've joined forces with the Islamic State. And people will remember from 4 years ago when they kidnapped the young girls from over 200 young girls from Chibok region in Nigeria, and a number of those young women have been found. That's 4 years ago, Bill. Can you believe that?
No, I can't.
The Bring Back Our Girls campaign, it was a big hashtag. And those parents, man, big respect and props to the parents and to all who have acted to relentlessly to bring as many of those girls back as possible. There are still some that are still missing, but in yet two more brazen attacks. Boko Haram has kidnapped another 100 from a region. I can't remember the name off the top of my head, but then there was another attack just a few days ago from Inyobe State as well, and another 111 girls reported missing. Some of the girls returned from the edge of town saying they had been released. But, you know, the audacity of stealing someone else's children, stealing what doesn't belong to you, is a marker of an 8-year insurgency by Boko Haram in Nigeria's northeastern region. And Boko Haram is actually, you know, kidnappings is just one of the many things that they have done that have, along with church bombings, mosque bombings, they've displaced about 2 million people. Some people have gone to other areas and other regions in Nigeria. Some people have gone overseas. People living in camps in Nigeria's northeast. The UN calls it one of the world's worst humanitarian crises. And we have heard that about so many different regions. Mm-hmm. South Sudan, one of the worst. Syria, one of the worst. And so, you know, this is just something that I think people need to be aware of. Dapchi was the name of the other region. But this has been going on for quite some time, almost 10 years now. 2,000 plus teachers killed, almost 1,400 schools destroyed since the insurgency began in 2009. And this is definitely a matter of prayer. Government is not always the most forthcoming in taking responsibility for the insurgency, for, you know, allowing the insurgency to continue, and or for protecting its citizens. And so it's another one of those things that needs a lot of prayer. I always feel a little bit like, I always feel kind of bad because when I come on, some of the things we talk about, Bill, are so heavy.
Well, I know, but you handle it so beautifully.
Oh, I appreciate that. You know, I feel like, you know, William Wilberforce, when he used to talk about slavery, the slavery issue in the United States, he used to always say, you know, you can look away, but you can never again say you didn't know. And it doesn't cost us anything to just stop for a minute and drop a word of prayer or continue to tell the truth and keep these stories alive, because a lot of these girls are Christian girls. The churches, obviously, they're places of worship, and these are physical attacks against a literal body that God has given us that we should feel. We should feel the blows of these kinds of things around the world. And, you know, there are amazing stories that come out of it. You hear stories about God delivering. You hear stories about God protecting. You hear stories about insurgents coming to faith in Christ because they are sick of the violence. They're sick of the extremism. But we have to also look behind the stories because, you know, we're Westerners. We love a good story with a happy ending, but we have to look beyond those things and see what the dynamics are that are driving them so that we can stop them and nip them in the bud and allow life to flourish and allow people to realize the fullness of the humanity that God has given them, being made in His image.
Mm-hmm. Well, Karen, it's always a delight to have you on the show, and my best to Carl, your husband, and your family. And thank you so much for visiting the show.
Thank you, Bill. I appreciate you so much. God bless you all.
God bless you. We'll take a short break and be back with more in just a minute. Thanks to all my listeners this morning that wrote in. Rob wrote in and said, I go to 3 different prisons every year with a large group. We put on spiritual retreats, and we do a monthly discipleship. It's fun. The inmates are excited to be around volunteers and hear the gospel, and it's a great spiritual journey because they get to follow Jesus, and that's an exciting thing. So, Rob, thanks for calling. Thanks for sending that letter. And Mike also, I appreciate all the listeners that wrote in. And the big question is Rutherford B. Hayes. I didn't know what the B stood for, so I threw it out there, and boy, we got lots of response from that. And his middle name is Richard. There you go. Have a great weekend, everyone. I'll see you Monday. Thanks for listening to the Early Morning Late Show podcast. These conversations are available because of your prayerful and financial support. Make a gift now at myfaithradio.com. To avoid missing future editions of the Early Morning Late Show, subscribe to the podcast today at iTunes or your podcast player. And thanks for sharing this audio link with a friend and grow the impact of the Early Morning Late Show.